Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I can't do a scary voice. We have some scary sound, don't we? Come on. Sorry to ambush you. Dave Josephson on the board. There we go. Little kids. You know what's scary? I mean, for years I've been saying, forget about shipping oil. That is so 1970. I think the future is going to be all about shipping water. And I said this in the past, and people look at me like I've got horns. But my point is, there's going to be new business shipping water from water-rich parts of the United States to water-poor parts of the United States, i.e. California, the Southwest, you know, areas that are really in perpetual drought most of the time. And here we have water we don't know what to do with. So I found it interesting. Star Tribune, moving with a story late this afternoon. A Lakeville-based railroad company, Empire Building Investments, the real estate arm of Progressive Rail, has filed a preliminary application with Minnesota to drill two wells in Dakota County that would produce 500 million gallons of water every year to be shipped by rail to the drought-ridden Southwest. The proposal is the first of its kind, for Minnesota could set a precedent for the state. Now, the request represents a new kind of water use for the state of Minnesota, according to George Fisher, the county's environmental resources director. Valerie Grover, a groundwater protection supervisor for Dakota County, said when she learned about the proposal, quote, it made my jaw drop. This company proposes to drill two wells on a 6.2-acre parcel of land the company owns in Randolph, within a mile of the Cannon River. The wells would more than double the amount of water currently extracted every year by farmers and residents with nearby wells. So, find that interesting. No, they're not coming for our lake water, the aquifers. And you wonder what kind of an impact that might have over time. I don't have all the data. I don't have the numbers. Breaking story, but I find it fascinating. Another story, and we're not going to dwell on this. Chances are you're impeached to death at this point, but the Democrats did, in fact, push impeachment rules packages through the House today, basically making the process now finally open and televised. The tally was 232 to 196. Every Republican in the House against the resolution, two Democratic defectors joining them, freshman Representative Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey, and, of course, 15-term veteran Colin Peterson of Minnesota. Both represent GOP-leaning districts. I think the president won Representative Peterson's district by 30 points back in 2016. So, again, what this vote really did, it laid down the rules, the process, as we transition from closed-door interviews with witnesses to public hearings and ultimately to possible votes on whether to recommend the removal of the president. I struggle with this. Nobody is above the law. I get that. Not even the president of the United States. And yet everybody under the Constitution entitled to due process. Everybody, including the president. So I am suspending my opinion, and in a perfect world, I think people should decide at the polling locations next November. I think at the end of the day, you don't like what he did, vote him out. And that may very well happen. But I want to see more information. And I don't care as much about process as I do about substance. What was actually done? The whole call to the Ukraine, talking to Zelensky, the president, was that it obviously was ill-advised. It was probably stupid. Was it illegal? Is it black and white, or is it some nebulous shade of gray? I don't know. And I don't think anybody really knows yet. We're peeling away at this onion, this infinite onion. And my hope is that enough facts and evidence come out that the average person can look at that and go, yeah, a crime was committed. And no, the Constitution does not permit that. And based on that, he should be removed, or I'm going to vote against him next November. I just, you know, everybody entitled to due process. And now we have some level of transparency. So we'll see how this all plays out. The other story, if you didn't watch the game last night or listen to the game right here on CCO, this is what it sounded like when a basketball game turned into a wrestling match.
Embiid and Towns, they are throwing fists. Towns has Embiid in the headlock, and they go right back at each other. They are piled up underneath the basket. It is a hog pile over by the Philly bench. Tempers have flared here with 6:42 left to go in the third quarter. Now there's another melee going on. Bodies were tossed around. This was no joke. This was not your normal pushing and shoving. This was the real deal.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly. And Karl Anthony Towns and Joel Embiid were rolling around on the floor in Philadelphia. And then it got even nastier. What, DJ, you were going to say?
Well, I was just going to chime in that Joel Embiid, who's playing at home in Philadelphia, right. He gets into this skirmish. And to me, if you do that as a player, you're letting your emotions get the best of you, and you're doing something that's damaging to your team. So you're the star of your team, and now you're going to get fined. You're going to get suspended. You're not going to be able to help your team win.
Right.
It's embarrassing to do that. Now, maybe it'll happen every once in a while, but it's embarrassing. But Joel Embiid left the court by pumping up the crowd and smiling and pumping his fist as if he was proud that his emotions got the best of him and he got into a fight. A fight that I think is embarrassing for someone to get into. So I don't know what Kat's response to that was. Obviously, he's not at home, so it's different. But the fact that Joel Embiid was seemingly proud of what he did, I think is disturbing and not good for the sport.
I could not agree more. And at the end of the day, look, there's always trash talk, right? They're trash talking each other all the time. But there's that line that you're not supposed to cross, right? You're supposed to show some level of discipline and restraint. You're a grown-up.
And professionalism.
Right.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, I think.
And then what happened online was even worse, I think, at the end of the day, because Twitter is toxic as it is, and you have to make the cesspool even stinkier. I mean, the things that were said online, on Twitter, we can't begin to repeat.
Yeah.
But
And you know, Karl Anthony Towns is not without blame here either. I don't say that about Joel Embiid to say that Kat wasn't at fault as well. But like you said, it got much worse online afterwards.
So we'll see what the suspensions are, how long they're suspended. Mike Max joined us last hour. He doesn't think these suspensions are going to be for long. But, kind of sorry to see that. But, you know, Kat is rising to the occasion, and he seems to be the heartbeat of that team this year. So go Wolves. When we come back, Halloween, not to be confused with Hollywood. Halloween trivia. You didn't know and didn't want to know. That's coming next.
Paul and Jordana.
Karen Falloon is here with the latest on this Halloween storm of 1991. Karen.
Actually, Chappie, between 5 and 9 o'clock, we've had over 6 inches of snow. And as of just about 5 minutes ago, we have 19.7. And that gets just about as close as you can get without it actually being the record. But at the rate it's snowing, the record will be broken within the next half hour or so.
Scary, scary, scary stuff. Meteorologist Karen Falloon. And, of course, that was the voice of the great Dick Chapman.
That's truly one of those moments for Minnesotans where you remember where you were.
It was a defining moment. Yeah,
absolutely.
You're right. Everybody has a story. Everybody who was around has a memory. That was a crazy blizzard. You don't expect 28 inches of snow. the last day of October, first day of November. All kinds of records were broken. That snow stuck around for the entire winter, and it set the stage. I think we had like 48 inches of snow in November, and most of that was from the Halloween blizzard, but what a crazy, crazy storm. Anyway, some Halloween trivia that made DJ and I turn our heads, do a double take. Yeah, do you have any sweet dance moves? Because Halloween's past, it was all about the performance. Most experts trace trick-or-treating back to a European custom, one they called mumming or guising. And I had never heard this before. Mumming and guising. Participants would go door-to-door performing dances, songs, even little plays. And in return for those performances, those spontaneous performances, they got treats. They got food. They got, I don't know, drink? Anyway, thought that was interesting. Work for your treat. Don't just show up with a bag, hey, give me some candy. You actually have to do something.
Yeah. Were you a kind trick-or-treater when you were growing up? Or were you like a mean kid, egging houses and stealing candy?
No. I think I toilet papered. I think I TP'd one tree growing up. And I was not that guy. I was just grateful to go out and get some candy and lay low. What about you?
My dad took me and some friends out TPing one night. So he was, I mean, you know, in our house, it was just, it's what you do. Yeah. Dad was involved the whole deal. Now, it was somebody we knew, obviously. But that wasn't even on Halloween. But, yeah, I don't know. We were often at church events or trick-or-treating at friends' houses, things like that. But no, not a lot of shenanigans. We did get egged one time. My mom wasn't happy about that.
That's not good.
Yeah. No, it was all good.
Yeah. What is it about human nature? We like to be scared, but a controlled scare.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
These days, if I want to get scared, I just turn on cable news. I mean, it's Halloween every day of the year. So what you got?
Well, apparently, according to a CNN article, there is etiquette for trick-or-treating. Etiquette.
Really?
For trick-or-treating. Yeah, of course. So
do's and don'ts?
Like if you are, yourself or if you are heading out with the kids this evening, there's a few tips here. Like, don't be greedy. If you're offered the bucket, don't take the whole handful. Take one or maybe two pieces small of candy.
Good karma.
Make sure to show off your costume, which I appreciate that. If kids are coming over, show me the costume. Tell me what you are. I don't know. I don't always know what's going on. And then make sure to, and this is a big one in my neighborhood, there's the lawns with the very manicured edges and certain landscaping. Mm-hmm. You got to be careful not to walk all
respect
over that
people's
stuff.
Property.
Yeah, respect people's property. So those are certainly some important things from a trick-or-treating perspective
also,
to remember tonight.
If you have a cold, don't stick your little grubby, snotty, slimy fingers into that bag of goodies.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
Other people, I know. Why am I wasting my voice? There are animal shelters out there that still will not allow people to adopt black cats in the days leading up to Halloween. The thought is that they might be used as sacrifices.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, that
so,
is scary.
Just in case the cat could get into the wrong hands, some places avoid having them adopted around Halloween altogether. And again, we mentioned this 3 o'clock hour. Halloween, Celtic origin, Ireland. The Irish were the ones who got this started. They believe the ghosts of the dead roamed Earth today on this holiday. So people would dress in costumes and leave out little treats on their front doors to appease these roaming spirits, to stay in good graces. And today, Ireland and Scotland celebrate Halloween with bonfires, games, and foods like barmbrack, which again is an Irish fruitcake that contains coins, buttons, and rings for fortune telling.
Wait, you can make fruitcake worse? Didn't know that was possible.
Apparently so.
Okay.
Yeah, fruitcake was bad enough. But
you're not passing out fruitcake at your house tonight, are you?
God, no. No, I think it's little Snickers bars, I think.
Yeah. I went to Target today, and it's like glow-in-the-dark Kit Kats. I don't even know what that means, but I just kind of bought the first candy.
Glow-in-the-dark?
In the aisle. Yeah.
Wait, what are they putting on that candy to make it glow-in-the-dark?
I'm not eating
it in my mouth.
What do you think about folks that are trying to offer like gluten-free or allergy-friendly products at Halloween?
Hey, go for it. It's not me. Not yet. Not this year. I'm confused as it is. And if you try to please everybody, you're going to please nobody. Right? I mean, I understand the intentions, and if you're vegan, I mean no offense, but I don't know. I'm just trying to keep the plate spinning in the air. So, anyway, when we come back, 3M just had a big science championship. We talk to the winner next.
Paul and Jordana.
Jor is off today. I think she'd rather be here. She is she's where she should be. She's taking care of her husband, Mark, the much celebrated, handsome husband, who actually has a real name. His name is Mark. And anyway, rather serious infection went into urgent care and got worse today. And so Jor is hanging out with Mark by his side, helping him out. We hope for a speedy recovery, Jor and Mark, and Jor, get your butt back in here ASAP. In the meantime, as a scientist on a good day, I'm always intrigued by how young people get into science. For me, it was an amazing teacher in ninth grade and another amazing teacher in 12th grade who turned the weather unit, the meteorology unit, into something amazing. And I realized this is what I wanted to do. You may have heard that 3M has an annual competition. It's called the 3M Young Scientist Challenge. This is a national competition held every year right here in St. Paul. And a 14-year-old from California is America's new top young scientist, eighth grader, Kara Fan. And listen to this invention, a nanoparticle liquid bandage to replace antibiotics. I kind of got every other word there. But with us on the line is the winner, Kara Fan. Welcome and congratulations. Welcome to CCO.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm amazed. Tell us, how do you feel here having won this national competition? You beat out hundreds of entries, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that's very impressive. Can you explain in just plain English, what does your invention do when it comes to antibiotics?
So my invention is called the nanoparticle liquid bandage, and it's a liquid bandage that contains nanosilver that kills bacteria, and it reduces the overuse of antibiotics.
Tell us a little bit about the overuse of antibiotics, because this is a real problem, right? We flush these antibiotics. They wind up in our streams, our lakes. And Why is overuse, over-reliance on antibiotics a bad thing?
So since people have been misusing and overusing antibiotics, the bacteria that we're killing are starting to resist to the antibiotics. And we can't save people.
That's right. The efficacy, right? And so in some cases, there are these super bugs that resist all antibiotics. And I can't imagine anything more terrifying than being at the hospital and having the doctor kind of say, hey, we've tried everything, every antibiotic we have, and we still can't knock out your illness. So I think you're onto something. And this is exciting for me. One of the questions immediately I had, Kara, is what got you on this track? What got you solving this problem?
So a long time ago, when my grandma, she got an infection, and she was taken to the emergency room and was saved by antibiotics. And that's when I got interested in antibiotics, and then we just started to do more research about that problem.
Interesting. And you got the top prize was $25,000. What do you plan to do with that?
I'm probably just going to save it for college.
Smart. So, you know, it's great to have a purpose. And most days I'm very optimistic because to me, it seems like the next generation truly has their act together. They're focused. They know what they want to do. What advice, Kara, would you have for young people listening, or maybe their parents who might be listening, in terms of what can you do to get kids excited about science, excited about STEM, and going off on their own and tinkering? I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about tinkering, right? Nobody knows exactly what the solution is. You have to experiment. You have to be willing to fail. You pick yourself up. You go in a different direction. Do you have any good advice for parents of young people that want their kids to turn out like you did?
I mean, like, if you have an idea for, like, a project and you just want to try it out and it fails, just don't worry, because it doesn't matter if it fails. You can keep on trying because it's going to work somehow.
Yeah, that's great advice. I remember when you said that, Thomas Edison came to mind. I think he tried 10,000 different filaments before he found the filament that would actually stay on and sustain a light bulb. And reporters at the time gave him a hard time. Hey, you're a failure, you know. And he goes, I haven't failed. He said, I just found 10,000 different ways that don't work. So my attitude, based on what I've seen, my limited experience, is that at the end of the day, creativity, being smart, yeah, all of that comes into play. But at the end of the day, it's people that are tenacious, people that don't give up. And so that's what really attracted me to this story, to your story. And I'm impressed. What do you hope to do, I mean, with your career? Is it too early to think about college and what you hope to do with your career, Kara?
Kind of.
You just want to be a kid. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
But your parents must be very proud, and we're very proud of you and for you, and we certainly wish you the very best.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Kara.
Thank you.
That's Kara Fan from, and she's calling in. Is she in California?
No, she traveled to New York City this week to make some appearances, so she's calling us from New York.
Kind of makes my participation trophy look pretty awkward right about now. But anyway, thank you to Kara, and congratulations, and kudos to 3M for hosting this. Do you have any, speaking of teachers, I remember at my 11th, I don't remember much. My memory is shot. But I remember my 11th grade advanced placement English teacher, Mrs. Eisenhart, and she would always say, use action words. So she'd return a paper and she'd circle things, and, you know, there's a more colorful, interesting way to say that. And there's an infinite number of ways you can say that. Use action words. And that stuck with me. Hmm. And teachers, I think, have, you know, arguably the most important jobs out there, and they're underpaid, chronically underpaid. We should revere them the way they do in Japan and other cultures. But that's another story. You have some favorite teachers that kind of got you off the dime and got you going in the right direction?
Well, yeah. Paul, I was educated at home for all of high school, all of grade school and high school.
Wow.
And my dad was the one, we're talking about science. My dad was the one who taught a lot of the science in my house. And what we were able to do because of that is think outside the box. So I remember one day we were doing something with like dry ice or I think it was dry ice or something that would expand. And I had the idea, I said, well, what if we put this in a bottle? Will it like expand and blow up the bottle? And we said, well, I don't know, let's try it. So we put some dry ice in a bottle and it got really tight and expanded. And I said, well, what if I get my BB gun and shoot that?
No. You had to bring out the BB gun.
The question is that obviously at a traditional school, you're not able to do that. And
right.
My dad said, well, grab the BB gun. Let's go out on the deck.
Let's experiment.
So we got to do that. And so exploding, you know, plastic bottles of whatever chemical were in there that we were experimenting with. And I got to do that as a kid. Now, you know, I don't remember exactly what the, you know, process or the molecular this or that that was going on there. But those are the things that I remember that you get to think outside the box. And that's when you got to actually learn, because I could figure out that if this is happening in this dish right here, well, maybe I could apply that somewhere else and, you know, do something that interests me.
Interesting. No, that's cool. I'm glad you have all your fingers and toes and that experiment turned out okay.
I also shot a squirrel in my backyard with that BB gun, but that wasn't part of science class. It was just me being a little...
Well, you were still experimenting.
Yeah,
I guess. A good shot? I think I can do this.
It took me several shots.
But it's funny, you know, the good times, you don't learn as much about yourself as the bad times, right? And nobody wants to go through the bad times. Mm-hmm. And yet, everybody's life is a roller coaster, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody has... You know, steady uphill climb, steady downhill climb. It's usually some variation of a roller coaster. Yeah. But I found, you know, my darkest times when I've had to take a lot of steps backward, that's when you kind of learn a lot about yourself. Yeah. And many times what you think is a failure blossoms into something that you couldn't imagine.
Yeah. Well, look at Kara's story where it all started because her grandmother had a grave illness, and that got Kara started on this path, and now she's at just, you know, eighth grade. She might be trick-or-treating tonight, for all we know. She's already doing something of real value in the world.
That's amazing. And most days, I mean, some days I'm as exhausted and pessimistic as a lot of other people out there, but most days I'm pretty optimistic because the next generation, between the millennials and Gen Z, you know, they're focused and... They're engaged, and they're not afraid to take on the biggest challenges. And their attitude is, all right, boomers, you had your chance. You had your moment. Thank you. At some point, we're going to give it a shot. So I say more power to them, and I'm hoping they can do it better, faster, cheaper. Bring it on.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.